is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. Our guest today is Father Peter of Jesus, formerly known as Father Patrick Peach. A native of the Baltimore area, Father Peter graduated from Calvert Hall College High School in Towson. He was ordained a priest for the Archdiocese of Baltimore in 2006 after completing his studies at the Pontifical North American College in Rome. He served as associate pastor of St. John in Westminster before discerning a call to a more contemplative life. In 2009, Father Peter entered the Hermits of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary of Mount Carmel, embracing a life of prayer, silence, and solitude at the Carmelite Hermitage in Lake Elmo, Minnesota. An expert in Carmelite spirituality, Father Peter joins us today to share his journey from parish ministry to the Hermitage and to reflect on how the wisdom of St. Teresa of Avila can help each of us grow closer to God in our daily lives. Father Peter, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
It's wonderful to be with you today. Thank you for the opportunity.
So tell us how you first felt that call to the priesthood. Can you tell us what was going on in your life back then? How did you discern a call to religious life?
Yes. So my vocation to the priesthood actually began when I received my first Holy Communion at the age of 7. And my mother was a daily mass communicant at Immaculate Conception in Towson, which was our home parish as a family. And I decided for whatever reason to go with my mother, beginning with my first Holy Communion, to daily mass. And very gradually, you know, what went from just being time spent with mom became an opportunity to just grow in the reality of what the mass was. And then I began to serve at the altar before going to school each day. And so that's where my vocation to the priesthood actually began. I point all the way back to the moment of my first Holy Communion in those years, going daily mass at 6:30 at Immaculate Conception in Towson. And then I didn't actually think about priesthood until after I had graduated from Calvert Hall in 97. One of the brothers at Calvert Hall asked me about religious life, asked me about the priesthood before I graduated. And I sort of deferred the question at that time. I said to the brother that that I wasn't quite ready to think about that, that I just wanted to go to college. And then it was one of the associate pastors at Immaculate Conception. I was working in the parish office kind of on the side as I was going to Loyola College in Baltimore. I'd gone to college there for 2 years. And as I was working in the parish office one day, this associate asked me the question, "Have you ever thought about the priesthood?" And that's where I finally said yes and began my discernment journey in earnest.
Why did you discern parish priesthood, a diocesan priesthood, over a religious order? And had you considered a religious order in your discernment process at that time?
Yes. Originally, I had actually discerned very briefly with the Jesuits. My father's side of the family, the Peaches, are from Granite, Maryland, and they had always had a relationship with the Jesuits at Woodstock College. And so I had actually looked at the Jesuits first, and when I went to the vocations director at that time, he asked me to finish my time at Loyola before, you know, he got me signed up with their associates program at that time. But he actually asked me to wait to finish college. But at that point, in my sophomore year, I was ready for something right away. So then I turned to the Archdiocese of Baltimore, who had a college seminary program available. And so it was more or less a matter of convenience. The Archdiocese was ready to receive me, to accept me, and to send me off to seminary. So that's what I was looking for. The Holy Spirit was very urgent at that time, and I wanted to get started right away. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got started, right?
So your first assignment was in Westminster, is that right? That was at St. John in Westminster?
As a priest or as a seminarian?
As a priest, after your ordination as a priest?
Yes, after my ordination, actually before I went. So my first assignment was to finish my STL at the North American College. And before going back for that fifth year, as it's called, I was stationed for the summer at St. John's in Frederick, Maryland. And then upon my return, I was sent to St. John's in Westminster, where I was with Monsignor Art Valenzano.
I was just going to say that's one of the most dynamic parishes in the Archdiocese, and Monsignor Valenzano is one of the most beloved priests. He was very beloved in the Archdiocese before his unfortunate death a few years ago. But what did you learn from being under his tutelage, and what did you learn about the priesthood in ministering in a parish?
Well, first of all, the parishioners at St. John's in Westminster just made it so easy to be a priest. It was a joy to be an associate there with Monsignor Art. And what he taught me about the priesthood was just to be a joyful presence among the people and a real prayerful presence too. And I guess what I learned in the parish there is that yes, there's just so much you can get involved in as a priest, and to respond generously to those opportunities that come with each day. So yes, I guess what I learned most from Monsignor Art and from that parish and that time was just the love of being a priest and ministering to the people and the various opportunities that came with each day. So.
How did your interest in Carmelite spirituality develop, and how did you ultimately discern that you were being called to a life as a hermit?
So it began as a gradual thing. When I had started seminary as a college seminarian, someone had given me as a gift the work of St. John of the Cross called The Dark Night of the Soul. And I just put it on my shelf and didn't really open it to read it. It wasn't until much later in my formation. Actually, I was ordained a priest. I went back for my fifth year. And it just felt like the right time to read it. At that time, I pulled it off the shelf. And it was just for me a read that I couldn't put the book down. I was going to the Holy Land for a pilgrimage, and I picked it up for the flight, and I just couldn't put it down. So it began with St. John of the Cross. And then from there, I began to read Story of a Soul by St. Therese. And then when I was in the parish, one of the parishioners who was a third order Carmelite gave me the collected works of St. Teresa. And so it was through my own personal reading that I was introduced to Carmelite spirituality. When I first started thinking about the contemplative life, I was actually in my third year of theology, where prayer really took on a tremendous importance in my life. It became the centerpiece of my day after Mass. And as I was growing in prayer, I began to discern, to decide that prayer was a gift God was giving me for my priestly ministry. And I needed to understand how I could use that as a priest. So in discussions with my spiritual director at that time at the North American in my third year of theology, we began to talk about monasticism. I had no idea what a monk was. I didn't know what Carmelites were. So it was a gradual learning process through my spiritual director, through personal reading. And then when it came actually to discerning my monastery in Lake Elmo, there was a sister there who my mom has a relationship with one of the sisters at the Carmel in Lake Elmo, and she's a friend of the family. And my mother just invited me to go to Carmel for a solemn profession. And then I was introduced to the brothers next door, and I thought, wow, I think there's an open door here that God wants me to walk through.
By that point, you had been a priest for the Archdiocese for roughly 3 years. Was there any sense of trepidation in leaving the Archdiocese, or even in telling Cardinal O'Brien at the time that you had this call, this pull to the Carmelite spirituality?
So there was a the I guess the fear that was kind of in the back of my mind was this what really God was this something that God really wanted me to do? And so discerning God's will and making sure, because it was a very serious decision to leave the parish, to make the choice to make this next step to go to the Hermitage. And I wasn't afraid to talk to Cardinal O'Brien, Archbishop O'Brien at that time, because years before I had actually talked to Cardinal Keeler about entering or discerning religious life and contemplative religious life at that. But he just had asked me to set that to the side so that I could discern, continue to discern towards ordination, to get ordained first and to have some experience in the parish before I looked at it. So it had been already maybe 3, 4 years of conversation. And so I was very much ready when I finally spoke to Archbishop O'Brien to make the next step. And I just felt very confirmed in prayer. And so, no, there wasn't a whole lot of fear or trepidation in moving forward. Just actually a lot of peace and a lot of confidence, which confirmed the vocation for me.
What was that experience like when you first entered Carmel?
Oh, it was like somebody had put on the brakes all of a sudden. All the activity in the parish suddenly came to a stop. And my priestly ministry suddenly shifted. So from being busy with all the sacramental ministry, the meetings and all, and being with lots of people all the time, it all came to a sudden halt. And then there was like a jolt in my mind and in my heart. And so there was a period of adjustment. It took about three months before I finally felt comfortable in the solitude and in the silence, and the community really helped to provide some stability for me in that period. And but once I got beyond those first 3 months and made that transition, I really began to feel comfortable in the prayer, and in the new way of living out my priesthood as a Carmelite hermit. So once I adjusted from being very active in priestly ministry to shifting towards the focus on prayer and sacrifice as a priest, once that transition was made, it was very much a peaceful thing. Yes.
What is the rhythm of life for a Carmelite hermit? Can you describe what a typical day is like, what you do during a day?
Yes. So there's three pillars to monastic life in general. There's the prayer, obviously, liturgical and personal prayer. And then there is the manual labor, and then there's personal study, which traditionally would be Lectio Divina, the prayerful reading of sacred scripture. So the day, the horarium, the daily schedule reflects that. My day typically begins at 4 o'clock with some quiet reading and prayer. And then by 4:45, we pray what's called the vigils office, the office of readings. And then by 6 o'clock, we go from that time of solitude in the hermitage and prayer to the chapel, the community chapel, to pray morning prayer. Then we have an hour of mental prayer after that, basically a holy hour. And following that holy hour would be mass. And then we have a daytime hour. And then we begin our daily work, which is 2 hours in the morning and then 1 hour in the afternoon. And then we have another period of another daytime hour right before our main meal of the day, which is at noon. So we have a fast that goes from September 14th to Easter Sunday, excluding Sundays and solemnities. And so there's no breakfast in the morning. And then we have our main meal at noon. There's some free time after that. And then there's another daytime hour that we pray for the divine office. We go into our hour of work. And then after that, there's Vespers, another hour of mental prayer, so a holy hour. And then there's a light evening meal, an hour of recreation, where the silence is broken, where we can speak about the day and just have conversation in community. Then there is Compline, which follows after that. And after Compline, we go into the grand silence, and we retire usually about 9:30, 10 o'clock.
That's a busy day.
Yeah.
I know when you were at Calvert Hall, you were in the art program there, which is a very highly regarded program in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Have you been able to use your skills in art, in iconography, or anything like that in your current ministry as a Carmelite hermit?
So initially, yes, I was able to assist Brother Christopher, who is our artist in the community, with some of his projects. So, for example, when we had mosaics installed in the main apse of our little community chapel, I helped him to paint the concrete that surrounded the tesserae, the individual tesserae. So I helped with some of the fine tuning of the mosaics as they were installed. And then I helped with some greeting cards over the years. But otherwise, I have not been able to get into actually doing iconography. My work as a priest actually has taken off very much at the monasterium, and I'm very much involved in spiritual direction for the local church, and have quite a few directees that come, and then also I give retreats throughout the year to Carmelite communities throughout the country, and then finally I'm the novice master, so I'm pretty busy with formation in the community.
Well, our guest today is Father Peter of Jesus, formerly Father Patrick Peach, and we're talking about Carmelite spirituality and his journey to the Carmelites. We're going to take a little break and we'll be back in a moment to continue our conversation. I'm George Matisek. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Father Michael M. Romano has been installed as rector of Mount St. Mary Seminary in Emmitsburg. Archbishop Laurie celebrated the installation mass October 28th, welcoming Father Romano to the leadership role. Father Romano, a New Jersey priest who most recently served at the Pontifical North American College in Rome, professed his faith during the liturgy and took an oath of fidelity. Mount St. Mary's, the largest Catholic seminary in the United States, draws approximately 25 dioceses nationwide and beyond, including the Archdiocese of Baltimore. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Capuchin Franciscans marked 150 years of ministry in Cumberland with a special All Saints' Day Mass celebrated by Archbishop William E. Laurie, November 1st, during which he installed Capuchin Franciscan Father Stephen Fernandez as pastor. The Capuchins, known for their devotion to prayer and service to the poor, have served the Cumberland community since 1875 when they arrived at what is known now as the Shrine of Saints Peter and Paul. The shrine is part of the Our Lady of the Mountains pastorate that also includes St. Patrick and St. Mary's churches in Cumberland. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. The same day Pope Leo XIV proclaimed St. John Henry Newman a Doctor of the Church, he also named the British saint patron of the Pontifical Urbanian University in Rome. In a document signed November 1st and released November 3rd, Pope Leo said he made the decision so that St. John Newman would, quote, intercede for this academic institution and be, for all those who are formed within it, for the missionary service of the Church, a shining model of faith and of sincere pursuit of the truth, end quote. St. Newman, who joined the Catholic Church in 1845 after ministering as an Anglican priest, studied at the Pontifical Urbanian College from November 9th, 1846 until June 28th, 1847. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. Our guest today is Father Peter of Jesus, a Carmelite hermit, formerly known as Father Patrick Peach of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We're talking about his journey to the priesthood, his life as a Carmelite, and Carmelite spirituality. Father, for someone who might not be familiar with the Carmelites, how would you crystallize what the Carmelites are all about? What is Carmelite spirituality?
So a Carmelite is given over to the whole life of interior prayer. And what St. Teresa teaches in all of her major works is the whole reason behind the reform of Carmel at her time was to cultivate the interior life, what she would basically name as friendship with God. Divine intimacy is another way of describing it. And so you begin basically with more exterior forms of prayer, discursive ways of praying. Then eventually you move towards greater and greater intimacy with God. And as you open yourself more to the grace of prayer, God gives more of himself, leading to union with him. And so I would think divine intimacy, friendship with God through prayer, the gift of prayer, is the heart of what we are all about in Carmel.
How does silence contribute to that communion with God in prayer?
Yes, silence is essential because life can be so busy, because we can be preoccupied with so many various activities, and because we're surrounded by so many different things in our own culture and contemporary society, the need for silence is absolutely essential. Silence creates an environment by which we are able to enter into our hearts to hear the voice of God. Without that silence, it's sometimes pretty hard to hear that still small voice that speaks in the depths of the soul. God's always speaking to us, but very often we miss what he's trying to say to us because there's so much noise in our environment and in our lives.
And your community practices long stretches of silence?
Yes. So the rule of St. Albert, which is the rule which defines Carmelite life in the monastery, requires that we spend our whole day in silence, except when there is a necessary business matter to address. So when, say, for example, two brothers are working together to prepare the meal for the rest of the community, they are not supposed to be in conversation with each other, except for necessary business matters. So we spend the whole day in silence, and we only break that silence when it's necessary. And then we have that 1 hour of recreation, which I mentioned. And then after that, we have what's called the grand silence. And that silence is so strict that it can only be broken for a situation which is an emergency, basically. So yes, we spend the whole day pretty much in silence. So basically, the only other reason for breaking silence would be for reasons of charity, or if you have guests coming to visit the monastery.
Now, as we record this, it's 1 day after the Feast of St. Teresa of Avila, and you were at St. Mary in Hagerstown to give a special presentation on St. Teresa. You celebrated Mass for her feast day. What can the everyday Catholic learn from St. Teresa of Avila about how to connect to God and to live a life of faith?
So St. Teresa, and many people may not realize this, she's a doctor of the church. She is a profound mystic, but she spent 20 years before in religious life before she actually began in earnest to live out a life of prayer. She struggled very much with trying to embrace prayer, to give herself to the demands of God in prayer, to give herself over to the demands of love. So what she shows us, if you read her life carefully, is that it's never too late to begin to pray. It's never too late. And that once you really begin to pray, God can do some really wonderful things. God can, as she puts it, can help you to turn over a whole new life, a whole new page in the book of your life. She says it very clearly that after she gave herself over to prayer, it was a whole new life from here onwards. And so for her, prayer was a real catalyst. So taking that time for prayer is not a waste of time. It's actually a very dynamic reality, which has the power to transform lives.
We have a couple minutes left. Could you tell us about some of the developments in your community? It's a very active, growing community, and you've had some physical expansion in Lake Elmo. Could you tell us about your community, and then also how people might find out more information about the Carmelites there?
So we're a community of nine right now. There are six brothers and three priests, and our community is, because we are growing, we have a need to finish our public chapel, which is what we are currently doing. There's construction going on at our community, and we're building this public chapel so that we can finish the monastery complex. So the plan is once the chapel is finished, is to build four more hermitages, two on either side, so that the community could reach up to 14 members, which is, you know, the desired capacity for a monastery like ours. And then the public chapel would enable people to participate in our daily liturgy, so Mass and Vespers, and to also have a place to come to pray. And we will eventually have a public cloister and a guest house where people can come and make personal retreats. So we're looking very much forward to that moment where we can open the doors of our public chapel. There's a great need to finish the chapel, both personally for our community and the needs of for vocations, and And then also just to open up to the larger local church to provide an oasis of prayer in a busy world.
And if a man is considering a vocation with the Carmelites, where can he go? Do you have a website, or is
So
there?
we do have a website, and you can find that website at www.carmelitehermitage.org. And we have a page describing our life, describing our orarium, what a Carmelite hermit is, and what it is that we do at the monastery. We also have a blog where we send out newsletters periodically, which shares not only news about the community, but also shares aspects of our Carmelite spirituality.
Great. Well, our guest today has been Father Peter of Jesus, and we've been talking about Carmelite spirituality. Father Peter, thank you again so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
You're welcome, George. It was great to be with you today.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbell.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.